You are listening to the Holistic Travel Nurse Podcast. Thanks for hopping in and checking me out. If you're new or if you're one of my continued listeners, thank you for subscribing, giving me a review on Podbean or Apple iTunes. I am taking clients one-on-one for health coaching. I am working on writing a 30-day cleanse. I can do a 10-day and then 30-day suggestion in detoxing and a cleanse. I don't say detox, I say cleanse. And one of the things I always recommend everybody to do, I don't say start with this, but I've talked about coffee enemas. I've been doing coffee enemas for a long time. I have blogs on it. I have more episodes on it. You need to work on increasing your glutathione. Why? And now I found patches, and now I'm researching and trying out different patches so that I know what to recommend one of you who hires me. So everybody's different. And so we all have to put that we're all not equal. But if you don't understand this powerful antioxidant and why we aren't working to optimize it in your body, you need to stay tuned. This can be two parts. I have two things that I'm going to share in this one. This, I just found it because I like this guy's accent. So I want to take his stuff. You can go find him. He'll tell you where, but listen.
It's called glutathione, appears to go down, and that exposes our cells to unnecessary damage. But if we take a supplement called N-acetylcysteine, or NAC, we can rebuild our glutathione stores and make our bodies more resilient to disease. Sounds like a great theory, right? Well, luckily for us, there's been a lot of research looking into this idea. So let's dive into the data, and then I'll share what I personally do with NAC supplements. So, if the main goal with NAC is to rebuild glutathione levels, we first need to figure out, does glutathione actually go down as we age? Like we've gone through, glutathione is a powerful antioxidant and is a critical regulator of oxidative stress and immune function. So in 2016, a study was done to figure out, does advancing age reduce levels of glutathione in the human brain? What they did is measured glutathione levels from autopsied brains from people aged 1 day to 99 years old. Surprisingly, what they found is that the glutathione levels are generally similar between young and old people, which suggests that human brain aging is not associated with lower levels of glutathione. So this is critical. We can see that not all areas of the body have reduced levels of glutathione, and that brings me on to my first word of caution. Generally, glutathione supplements, they're of limited value because the glutathione rapidly degrades. This just means that by the time that we take a glutathione supplement in, most of it would have degraded into something else. It's not going to have any value to us. That's led some supplement companies to create what's called liposomal versions of glutathione. Basically, all this means is that the glutathione is stable. We can take it in and the body can absorb it. But here's the crucial part. It bypasses the normal body processes, so the glutathione can directly get into our cells. This can be extremely dangerous. Since the liposomal glutathione can bypass the body's normal processes, the body can't regulate it, and that can mean toxic levels of glutathione in our cells. Like we've gone through, not all areas in the body need extra glutathione. So for example, the last thing we want to do is boost the glutathione levels in the brain, because the brain simply doesn't need it. So why on earth would we take a supplement that can upset that balance? It boggles my mind that supplements like this are sold. But it does sound strange, doesn't it, that glutathione, which is a powerful antioxidant, can build up to toxic levels. Well, let me explain. In 2009, there was a landmark paper published which talks about the 9 hallmarks of aging. And in that paper, it presents data showing that not all oxidants are bad. Instead, there's solid evidence that oxidants, they can trigger survival signals. So what we want to do is strike a perfect balance between oxidants and antioxidants. We don't want too much of either one. So, we've established that the brain doesn't need glutathione support, and liposomal glutathione can be incredibly dangerous. It needs further studies before it's widely used in humans. What about other areas of the body? Does the heart, liver, our muscles, do they need glutathione support? Well, the only data that I could find of reduced glutathione levels as we age is in blood. In 2002, there was a paper published showing that oxidative stress, it increases as we age, but the glutathione levels remain relatively stable until we reach 45 years old, and then the glutathione in the blood rapidly declines. This is where NAC may have a role in rebuilding these glutathione levels in the blood. For subscribers of this channel, you've probably heard me talk about a paper that was published this year showing that our metabolism, it appears to tank after the age of 60 years old. That fits in with the data showing that glutathione levels in the blood appears to decrease from the age of 45. So an argument can be made that it's a reasonable idea to support our glutathione levels by taking NAC, and this will hopefully improve our metabolism and make us more resilient against diseases. So let's test that idea. There was a paper published this year on COVID-19 patients, and it gave half of them a combination of what's called combined metabolic activators, which includes NAC for glutathione support. And here's what they found. The recovery time was significantly shorter in the combined metabolic activator group, so a whopping 3 days faster recovery. And that is...
Okay, so you can go listen to his whole thing. But you know, he has good and bad in there. I mean, taking the supplement liposomal, which I actually haven't taken that version at all. I have a patch that I'm trying, which is just on the skin. Your body is going to absorb what it needs and takes what it needs. And then the way that I do it naturally is coffee enemas. They've always helped with pain. So let's listen to Dr. Ben Lynch, if you've never read his book, a little bit of what he has to say about this.
Sensitivity and headaches. So, and I asked these questions because I was a bit biased in the conditions I put there, because I had already studied the mechanisms of action of how glutathione could be problematic for people, and I suspected a lot of these pre-existing conditions would actually flare, would become more flared, or these individuals would be more flared from glutathione. And you're hearing these things, and you're like, well, glutathione has helped a lot of my patients with this. You're full of it. Well, true, it does help a lot of these individuals, but some will be worsened from it.
And why does that happen then? What's going on?
Yeah, it's the mechanisms of action. So the irritability, the headaches, the MSG sensation, the insomnia, all have to do with glutamate. Now, there could be other things going on here too. And there always is, because the body is crazy complex. But glutamate, elevated glutamate, will increase these things, as we know. So, and glutathione is produced from what? Glutamate, glycine, and?
Cysteine, yeah.
Cysteine, thank you. So, higher levels of glutamate will cause these problems, and some of these individuals will already have kynurenine levels, so kynuric acid, or however you say that crazy word. So if you order an organic acid, yeah, it's a crazy one, but if
that so way if we don't want it to go down.
Yeah, so if they have brain inflammation, pre-existing brain inflammation, so their kynuric acids are already high, they have headaches, they have all these things, and you give them glutathione, look what happens. So here's the gotta see here. So here's glutathione right here. Okay. Come on.
Got it.
Okay, so glutathione will feedback inhibit. See this? I know it's a bit backwards for you guys, but here's glutathione. It feedbacks inhibits this gene. So as you feedback inhibit this gene, you are increasing cysteine levels.
Right.
And cysteine levels, if the individual as oxidative stress, it's going to turn the cysteine to cysteine and make reactive nitrogen species. So if they have higher iron levels, if they have higher levels of superoxide or what have you, or they're fighting infections or what's going on, you know, various things, then that cysteine, which now can no longer be making glutathione, is going to become more reactive. And at the same time, cysteine has to be eliminated. And as it's being eliminated, it becomes sulfites.
Wow.
Okay, cysteine becomes sulfites, and elevated sulfites lead to breathing disorders. If you ever done IVs on a patient with IV glutathione to a patient, and you've seen them have difficulty breathing, it'd be the sulfites. And sulfites increase glutamate in the brain as well.
So when you said that gene, this gene, what gene was that?
So glutathione feedbacks inhibits the GCL gene.
Okay.
And I forget the name of that gene.
Okay.
But that gene is also inhibited by mold, mycotoxins.
Yeah.
So mycotoxins inhibit the formation of glutathione via the inhibition of the GCL gene. And that is from a published paper.
And, yeah. So this makes sense given that pathway, that if there is a variant or a gene that's inhibited, that people would end up with these symptoms. So it informs, I think, the clinical case even more to maybe dig deeper for data on a DNA perspective, perhaps. But when you find this out, what do you do about it?
Well, I look to first suss out all the reasons why the individual has higher glutamate levels. And because glutathione by itself, 500 milligrams of glutathione is not that much.
Right.
So, and the amount of glutamate that's in there isn't that much. So they had to have something going on there. And another thing I want to share is there's a curve, and I don't have it in front of me at the moment, but a little bit of glutathione, too low of glutathione in your patient will increase glutamate levels in the brain. Because I know I'm giving you a ton of information here, but you can listen to this later, right? So just bear with me. I'm just dumping.
We're going to go down. We'll get through this together.
Yeah. It's a lot of information. So just roll with it and listen to it again later. I'm giving you a lot of little actionable things that you can apply. So too little of glutathione in the brain will increase calcium release. And calcium release is inflammatory. It's destructive. So too little is bad. And glutamate will increase calcium channels to open. And so that's bad. So too little glutathione will increase calcium channel and glutamate. And too high of glutathione will do the same thing. It's the three bears. You need just the right amount. You need just the right amount. And so how do you control that? I love using liposomal. And I love informing patients about the pulse method. The pulse method is, you know, understand the symptoms of why you need glutathione. For me, it's a foggy head, not clear thinking. I'll take a few drops, quarter teaspoon, half teaspoon, depending on the significance of it. And then maybe the next day I'll tune in again. How's my head? It's fine. I don't take it. I don't tell my patients, or I don't see patients anymore, but I always inform them to tune into how they're feeling, instruct them on what the supplement that they're taking does, what symptom that's supposed to alleviate, and if they do not have that symptom, they skip taking that supplement at that time.
Hmm. So you mentioned the liposomal glutathione because you have best control over dosing based on this three-bear analogy?
Yes. Yeah, because for me and many others, if you take a liposomal glutathione and you squirt it in your mouth, just a few drops, and you hold it, I can literally feel my head clearing. I mean, it's amazing. It's very fast. And so patients who have EMS sensitivity, Wi-Fi sensitivity, low glutathione, because this EMF and Wi-Fi stimulate calcium channel release. So they have too little glutathione. You give them electrolytes and you give them liposomal glutathione, their EM sensitivity goes way, 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 way down. I've nullified mine.
It's so amazing that you said that. Just this past weekend, I was at the California Association educational conference called Cells Gone Wild. It was all about autoimmune disease, but I had been in a little bit of a travel swell. And this was my third trip in like a week and a half. I luckily was able to just drive to Palm Springs and not get on a plane. But, you know, so early, start at 7:30, the exhibitors are there. And I literally went up to somebody and said, what can I need something. I felt, and I almost could not articulate it, but I'm like, I need to start, you know, locking in and taking things in and getting through the day. And that's exactly what she gave me. She gave me some liposomal glutathione. And just like you said, hold it. It was right there. And it was almost instant.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. When it's the right thing, it nails it. And sometimes it's deceiving because you take it, you hold it, and nothing happens. And when that happens, sometimes I'll stop. And well, I usually do stop. And then I'll come back and like, I'm going to take more. And then I'll take more. And sometimes it does help. Other times it doesn't. And then when it doesn't help, then I take electrolytes. And when I take the electrolytes, that makes a huge difference. And does it make it completely go away? Sometimes not. Because sometimes I'll be just surrounded by Wi-Fi or Bluetooth for a long period of time, maybe a week at a conference. And because I don't have Wi-Fi in my home. I'm wired. Everything is wired in this home.
Okay, so we got both sides of the argument with glutathione. I mean, they doesn't talk about doing coffee enemas and having your own liver kick into it and all the benefits there. But you can go research that. I admit you to go research that on your own. Next things next. I gotta find it. Sometimes things lose, but a little bit of recent news. It was Dr. Zelenko report and Ann Vandersteel. Here you go. Other reporters that I amend to them doing the work they need to be doing.
Z-Stack and or Z-Detox, if you've been in the Baltic Sea, close to the routes of the inactive Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which has experienced an unexplained drop in pressure. I'm not sure how unexplained it is after listening to resident Chinese ambassador himself, Joe Biden, talk about being able to take Nord Stream 2 offline. The leak southeast of the Danish island Bornholm is very dangerous for the maritime traffic, and navigation is prohibited within 5 nautical miles of the radius of the current position of the leak. And authorities in Germany now, where the undersea pipeline from Russia is making land, said the Energy Link had experienced a major drop in pressure overnight. And they were speculating what could be the cause of the leak. The German Ministry of Economy indicated in a statement that there was absolutely no clarity over the cause of the pressure change. The Nord Stream pipeline map, take a look at this right here. If you're wondering where this is actually happening, right there off that red marked island Bornholm is in fact where that massive leak of bubbles in the Baltic Sea is happening. And the Swedish daily newspaper is quoting that the Swedish Defense Forces Chief of Operations, Mikael Claesson, who said it's not ruled out that there's a connection to the gas leaks and Russia's mobilization last week. Claesson then went on to tell the paper that the incident was a military matter. Sweden's government held a crisis management meeting with other public authorities over the damage to the Nord Stream pipeline system. And their daily paper said that, citing comments from the foreign minister, Ann Lind, went on to discuss the pipeline damage with Denmark later on during the day. They said Denmark is actually now tightening security around all of their energy assets, as some European officials speculate that the Nord Stream pipeline system was sabotaged. Gee, you think? Seismology data is showing that there was two explosions or two major events within simultaneous of one another last night in the middle of the night. And what they're talking about is that the destruction that happened within one day at three lines of the Nord Stream pipeline system is completely unprecedented and impossible to estimate the time frame for restoring operations of the gas shipment infrastructure. The Baltic Sea, I should say, the gas leaks reported by the Swedish and Danish authorities near inside the Baltic Sea, near the exclusive economic zone, is southeast of Bornholm Island. So this is a major maritime traffic route for a lot of ships in that area going back and forth. This is highly disruptive, not only because it's cutting off gas, but because it's also having to cause maritime traffic to circumnavigate what is actually occurring under the ocean at the moment. This is a satellite image of the actual gas leak, and you get an idea of just how big this bubble coming up from the bottom of the ocean is. Coming out of a German paper, Tagesspiegel, indicating that for a deliberate attack on the bottom of the sea to happen, it had to involve special forces, Navy divers, or a submarine. And of course, adding that German authorities are reportedly examining two possible explanations for the incident. The first suggests that Ukraine-affiliated forces could be behind the attack, while the second suggests that Russia carried out the attack as a false flag to blame Ukraine. Got to ask yourself something. Who do you think it is? I have my suspicions, and I'll probably hold them for a little bit, but I'm pretty sure I know who it is. kind of made it a little obvious, didn't he? Russian energy giant Gazprom progressively reduced the volume of gas being delivered via the Nord Stream 1 until it shut down the pipeline completely at the end of August, blaming Western sanctions for the delay of necessary repairs to the pipeline. So you see, if we're not providing what's necessary to, in fact, fix the pipeline that was having issues at the time, they had to shut it down for safety reasons. Why would they want to then blow up their own pipeline and blame Ukraine, calling it a false flag event? Just asking that question. All of this is now leading to the bigger problem that Europe is facing, economic wasteland. As industries die, and of course the Nord Stream 2 pipeline is tantamount to running lots and lots of industries, banks fail, and food production plunges, Europe's economy, currencies, and industries are in a free fall, plunging towards economic wasteland status that is less than a year away if the natural gas supplies from Russia aren't quickly restored. So you can see here, folks, they are looking at a complete and total economic collapse of the scale and proportion. If you've ever seen the movies Mad Max of Thunderdome, Europe is quickly going to deteriorate into something very similar to that. In fact, Michael Yon, friend of this show, as well as many shows, he was just recently on Natural News with Mike Adams talking about this, and he said that the situation in Germany right now is so dire that the Germany chemical giant BASF, formerly part of the Nazi-run IG Farben chemical conglomerate, that carried out war crimes against humanity, is now threatening to shut down operations for industrial plants that have run continuously since the 1960s. As explained by Philip Alterman in a UK Guardian article entitled How Gas Rationing at Germany's BASF Plant Could Plunge Europe into a Crisis, BASF is actually close to shutting down its massive chemical facilities in Germany due to lack of natural gas. The big question is, if they do take the plant and fully shut it down, can they ever fully restart the operations after a shutdown, since the very act of shutting down the system may in fact break the system? And just so we're all clear just how important it is that BASF continue its operations, it is actually critical to the world supply chain for fertilizer, petroleum refineries, medicines, plastics, consumer products, industrial materials, and much, much more. If BASF were actually to go down, Western Europe's industrial economy would rapidly collapse into ruin, and the global supply chain crisis would dramatically worsen far beyond anything we saw due to COVID lockdowns. BASF not only provides natural gas as its energy source for chemical manufacturing, but the hydrocarbons in the natural gas are the feedstock for the critical chemical production such as ammonia, NH3, which must have hydrocarbon from the hydrocarbon molecules. Remember, there's a war on carbon, folks. Keep all this in perspective. You really can't just replace natural gas with electricity, since electricity does not contain hydrocarbon, and you need hydrocarbon to make ammonia for ammonia nitrate for fertilizer. So wind or solar or electricity can't replace what natural gas does in order to fuel the fertilizer production, i.e. put fertilizer on your crops, get crops planted en masse, and feed the world. We're looking at total famine worldwide if all of this goes down. Shocking how we have all our eggs in one basket, isn't it? In Europe, BASF uses around 60% of the gas it buys to generate energy in production, and the remaining 40% is raw materials needed to produce important basic chemicals. Now, the Nord Stream 1 current flow is at zero, and Russia has absolutely no reason to restore flows anytime soon. This means that Germany is now running on stored natural gas even as the winter approaches. And folks, it gets brutally cold up there. They're pretty close to the Arctic Circle. Those gas stores will not even last throughout the end of the year. And by the way, as I said, 2023, it's going to be a cold, cold winter. BASF is now warning of an imminent shutdown due to lack of natural gas, and if natural gas supplies fall below 50% of BASF's full demand, the company will have to shut down operations. And that's the fact, folks. It ain't pretty. A shutdown of BAS would actually mean closing down of automobile manufacturing, consumer products, agricultural chemicals, sterilization chemicals for hospitals, and much, much more. And across Western Europe, ammonia production is actually already halted down by 70%, which will have devastating repercussions on spring planting in 2023. So we should start to expect mass famine to occur across Europe throughout 2023 through 2024. And to add insult to injury, you're also seeing metal smelting operations down more than 50%, and it goes on and on from there. Now, spinning on over to Russia, President Putin has now granted Snowden, remember him, Eric Snowden, Russian citizenship. That's right, he granted the citizenship to Edward Snowden, who we all recognize for some as a controversial U.S. whistleblower. And the move came after historic tensions between Russia and Moscow are escalating even right now as we talk about it. Snowden, who did leak classified documents about the U.S. mass surveillance, has lived in Russia since 2013. A decree signed by President Vladimir Putin listed Snowden as one of 75 foreign citizens listed as being granted Russian citizenship. Ties between Washington and Moscow are already at their lowest point in decades, thanks to the ambassador of China in the White House. And this, of course, is now following Putin's decision to launch what the Kremlin has dubbed a special military operation in Ukraine. Now, when you look at what's going on the other side of Asia, just next to Russia, you've got China and the CCP. But guess what they're doing? They're not staying over there. They're coming over here, and they're buying farmland near Air Force bases, in fact, near one in North Dakota. 51 Republican lawmakers are sending a letter to three of the resident Biden's cabinet secretaries warning that national security is threatened by Chinese Communist Party linked company efforts to buy farmland near an Air Force base in North Dakota. Representative Carlos Jimenez from Florida, thank you, Carlos, has written a letter with 50 of his colleagues to Secretaries Lloyd Austin, as if that woke guy is going to do anything, Janet Yell and Tom Vysolak about the land acquisition near North Dakota's Grand Forks Air Force Base by the Chinese manufacturer Fufeng Group. And this letter was also going to be sent out to three secretaries and warning of this alarming development for U.S. national security following the Fufeng Group purchase of some land incredibly close to the base. Now, here's where it's getting a little bit scary, because a lot of exceptional intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance capabilities all go on at this Air Force base. So you put CCP company-owned companies next to one of our very, you know, high-secure Air Force bases, I call that a recipe for disaster. And the presidents of CCP-affiliated corporations near a military installation will potentially undermine the integrity of our high-capacity military bases and, of course, put all of our strategic interests in jeopardy. But I got to say, since when does this administration ever care about not selling out or making things easily inaccessible to the CCP? Lawmakers are warning that acquisitions of this magnitude also pose a threat to America's food security and not just our national security. And the billionaire owner of the Chinese company behind the recent attempted land acquisition in Texas, also near the Laughlin Air Force Base, served in the CCP's Chinese military and has very deep ties back to all of them. So, where is the United States Department of Agriculture, another unconstitutional agency in all of this? Aren't they supposed to be protecting our food interests? Well, at the beginning of 2021, foreign investors that held a stake in approximately 37.6 million acres of U.S. agricultural land, the USDA said that they think this trend is actually expected to increase over the next few years. Is there anybody over at the USDA that cares, that even has a slight concern that perhaps we're being invaded by the Chinese, and perhaps not only are they using our land to send food back over to a million of their starving people in their country and the hell with us, but perhaps the proximity to which they're buying land near sensitive military installations could potentially be a problem? And are they even sitting down in the room with the folks over at the Committee on Foreign Investments in the United States? Remember CFIUS? They're supposed to look at all this stuff and make sure it gets a blessing and is kosher. Oh, you know what? I don't even know why I bother. Our agencies are so corrupt. They're in bed with the Chinese along with the corporations, and they're all getting paid. They're not here to protect us. They're making sure that their wallets are padded and their futures are secure. Well, speaking of insecure, sitting down here in Florida with a bullseye coming at us, that's right. The Florida National Guard has actually been activated. And this, according to Florida National Guard General James Eifert on Monday, talking about sending out the vaccinated and unvaccinated National Guard. Doesn't care whether they've got the shot or not, but they're sending them here to help with an impact of what's coming at us, which is known as Hurricane Ian. He's a monster. He's big. and he's headed this way. In fact, last I heard, he was no longer going out to sea towards the west and maybe coming in over the panhandle. He's now headed right here, somewhere between where I live in Sarasota and Tampa Bay. First hurricane to make landfall in Tampa Bay in about 100 years, since 1921. Now, for some more exciting and unfavorable news, listen to this nonsense coming out of the Boston Fed chief. That's right. Up in Beantown, the new president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, Susan Collins, said in her first speech that unemployment needed to be increased. That's right. You heard it. Increased unemployment to lower historically high inflation. Just stop and think about what that woman just said. She's now further suggesting that any economic downturn would likely be modest in her September 25th speech to the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce. Those people just sit there and drink a lot of wine and just not even listen to what she's saying. It's so obvious that these people are positioning themselves and positioning all of us for total economic destruction. She's made similar remarks made by her colleagues like Raphael Bostic, president of the Atlanta Fed, who also spoke on CBS's, I call it, Deface the Nation on September 25th, saying that the American economy is strong and can withstand an aggressive interest rate hike by the Federal Reserve to combat inflation, which is at a 40-year high, and suggested that perhaps we may have peaked. Folks, I don't think so. Consumer prices are up 8.3% in August from a year earlier as inflation continues to rise, hitting highs of 9.1% in June. And she says accomplishing price stability will require slower employment growth and somewhat higher unemployment rates. She's also acknowledging that job losses are painful and said that there is apprehension about a possibility of a significant downturn. Well, I'm just going to tell you this much. You start putting people out of work and you start raising all these interest rates, how do you expect them to pay their bills? And what do you think is going to happen next? We only have to look back in history to understand what's going to happen next. Well, Unusual Whales, one of my favorites on Twitter, when I stalked them on Twitter, because I got booted from there again the other day, put this tweeted out. Fed Mesters, rates will not be reduced next year. For all of those who think the Fed is just making these increases right now to halt inflation quickly, well, they're not planning on bringing them down next year. And Goldman Sachs, the Darth Vader on Wall Street, has begun laying off workers across the U.S., and the Wall Street giant is focused on culling mid-level investment bankers amid a downturn in deal-making as the economy slows. Well, it's about time that corrupt cabal felt a little bit of pain. But again, it's always the little guy that gets, you know, kicked out the door. The big guys are still pocketing their millions, and the beat goes on. Well, next week, I have the pleasure of joining not only General Michael Flynn, but Attorney Todd Callender, Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers, Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long, both flight surgeons, as well as Reiner Fulmick, on a presentation that is going to be live streamed on Cloud Hub on 3 o'clock next Thursday, October 6th. Five Small Stones Legal Network is putting this out. We have got, it's over military medical martial law and the weaponization of public health through legislation. The program outline is absolutely stellar. We're going to be going through what the WHO is talking about doing, and of course, all the different legal aspects. And how we're going to round this out is everyone's going to be giving somewhat of a 10 to 15 minute presentation, but we've got to talk about how we're going to get a handle on things. So they've left it up to me to close this out on the topic of becoming an American state national, the true route to freedom. And it's an honor to be able to address this. But what I really love about this entire presentation, besides being able to share all this information with all of my esteemed colleagues, but also we're going to dissolve into breakout groups on Cloud Hub's platform. So I encourage everybody over to get on Cloud Hub. It's free, cloudhub.com, and you can join the Vaxxed Choice, Vaxxed Choice, V-A-X-X-C-H-O-I-C-E, Vaxxed Choice group, where this will be presented in an event format where we'll be passing out information as well as entertaining questions and answers, particularly when we go into the breakout group. And how is all this connected? And why are we doing this? What is the genesis behind all of this? Let me just pull this up again for your reminder. This executive order that was posted on March 9th of this year, the executive order on ensuring responsible development of digital assets. Folks, this is coming at us like a freight train going off the rails. That's right. They intend to take it all. This is all part of the global reset. This is why we had to have COVID-19. They want to make sure they can track and trace and limit our access to cash every step of the way. This is all part about all of the different patents, particularly the ones that Charles Liebert and Microsoft have patented with respect to nanotechnology that has been injected into the people who received the vaccine. It's all about connecting you to the Internet of Things and cryptocurrency. So between this executive order and the other one that just came out a few weeks ago on September 12th, the executive order on advancing biotechnology and biomanufacturing innovation for sustainable, safe, and secure American bioeconomy. They spell it all here, spell it out clearly all here, folks, what they intend to do. It's about transhumanism. It's about controlling you and making you the ultimate slave. No more just a slave to the bankers, a complete debt slave society. I'm talking about full-on slavery. Well, we've got a plan to stop this, as always, and it's women who are really rising up to make sure that we go through this and that we, you know, mobilize and that we lead our families and that we work diligently in our communities. Coming up after the break, I've got Kimberly Johnson joining me. I got to tell you, this woman is incredibly resourceful. She has put together an all-star cast of true patriot women, women who are strong individuals. They are thinkers. They have organized. And she is showcasing this in her movie, American Woman, the movie, in a documentary-style format. We're going to sit down and talk with her not only about the documentary she assembled, but I want to run through some of the current events and ask her to strategize. How are we going to mobilize not only the women in this in our worlds here, but also how are we going to mobilize and get calls to action so that we can stop what is coming? Because I'll be darned if I'm going to accept the phrase that nothing can stop what's coming, especially when it's them coming at us. It ain't happening. We'll be right back after the break with Kimberly Johnson.
Hey, there's some severe groupthink that goes on within the university, and if you do not go along with that, there's going to be consequences, and we're seeing this across the country with conservative academics.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now, post your videos today, and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.